My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hey, Gil, when you say those radio announcers, you're excluding one Dan DeVoma Kahuna, right?
Yeah, I guess.
Now back to 95.7 The Game.
I guess so. I mean, just the Jordan shrug on that call. That's a mic drop, Dan.
That hurts.
Wait.
I thought he was right there with me. I mean, he was reciting everything that I've been pounding for the last 3 hours here, or 2 hours, and he's... You know, then he ends things by saying, I have no idea who the hell you are.
Well, we're easily confusable.
I mean, come on, man.
You know, similar stances.
What's going on with you, Gil?
Great looks. I mean, similar dispositions.
Hey, you want to talk about Doug Gottlieb really quick?
I know you do. What do you got to say about Doug? You know what? Dan DeVoma, just get it off your chest.
So Doug Gottlieb, is it Wisconsin Green Bay?
He's one of those teams up north, but he's still hosting a radio show.
Well, that's what drives me crazy.
How are you going to run practice while you're on the air?
He's going to do his four-hour daily network radio show and be the head coach. That is so Gottlieb. That is just so arrogant. Like, pick a lane. Either you're a head coach or you're a radio host. Like, you can't do part-time for both. Like, coaches will tell you this, and you're walking down becoming a play-by-play guy, which is one of the reasons why I love you, is that you're willing to travel wherever. Remember when I first met you, you were going to, like, Hogs Flat, Arkansas to go to, you know, instructional league baseball.
Yeah.
But you were willing to go, because that's what it is when you're a coach. You give everything to being coach. Like, you travel wherever the job is, and then... It becomes a 14-hour daily grind. These people are not normal. So to want to do your radio show, which is 4 hours on the air, but there's some prep time. Like me, I get in here at 6 in the morning getting ready for a 9 o'clock show. You're obviously not paying attention to let me get away with that. But when you're talking about a guy that wants to
stamp on these rumors,
show,
Dan.
And still coach his team, like, come on. I'm telling you right now, that is not going to work. Go ahead. I had to get that out.
No, it isn't.
Where are we at with the rumors? Give me one.
Well, no, I was just trying to make sure I didn't miss anything because, again, we got a lot of news coming down the line next 48 hours.
A lot of disrespect today.
Dude, I'm trying to... Oh, God, I'm trying to do a couple things here, but...
So it's 3 o'clock is when... But Paul George could let people know well before that, right?
Well, and that's why I do think there's a chance in the final hour of our show here that we do hear the decision. Because I'm with you. Like, as much as I think the Warriors could get better if they traded for Paul George for the right price. It seems like it's exorbitant at this point. I also think that he's just trying to use the Warriors as leverage
to
get what he wants with the Clippers, which I don't even know if he'll get. Like, if realistically, I mean, they won 51 games last year. They just brought Kawhi back on a 3-year extension. I mean, why would you leave?
Because of Kawhi.
To get an extra year? I think that's the biggest hang-up, is three versus 4 years. But
I think you would leave. The larger part of it is the money. It always is. But also, at some point, you got to say, Kawhi, man, enough is enough, man. How many times I hitch my wagon to this cat? I mean, come on. They're going on like 7 years. No, how many years has it been? It's been like 6 years.
It's been, yeah, well what? He was
5 years?
With Oklahoma City in 2019. So the pandemic year, I think, was their first season together.
5 years of this.
Yeah, he got traded in 2019 for SGA. Like the
at some point you got to say, "Come on, Kawhi, bro, you're just not healthy. I can't do this with you anymore. This is silly. It's not working."
I mean, but if he goes to Philly, he's working with another injury-prone superstar who can't stay healthy in the playoffs. So, I think he ends up sticking around in Los Angeles.
So do I.
And I think the Warriors are kind of left at the altar. I think honestly for any big boy, like that's And before the break, this is kind of what I was getting into. The reason why I've been frustrated with this offseason so far is because there's seemingly a tone or a message from the Warriors that, like, last year can't stand. You know, we can't not make the playoffs. We have to be better. We have to get to 50 wins. Like, that's the floor. We have to be a 50-win team. We're going to do everything in our power to go out and try and upgrade, larger-scale upgrades, is the quote from Anthony Slater's piece. When Klay Thompson was quote-unquote frozen out. Okay, so all I've seen thus far is you're unwilling to move Kuminga, you're unwilling to give up future first-round picks for somebody like Paul George, Jimmy Butler, even Kevin Durant, I'm not sure. They're unwilling to do that. Okay, so how are you going to get better? Or like, how are you going to upgrade yourself on a larger scale? All I've seen so far is that apparently you've pissed off Klay Thompson to the point where he might just walk regardless. He might not want to come back to the Warriors. You have the Chris Paul trade chip, which I think they'll guarantee tomorrow and acquire that $30 million to then try and trade. But after Paul George opts in, Jimmy Butler's off the table, Kevin Durant's not going anywhere. Like, who are you trading for? Like, how are you going to use that $30 million? Because I think there is a very good chance that Chris Paul could just be on the team next year, that they might keep the $30 million to keep his slot, to dangle him as trade bait, and then just pray to God that their younger players are ready to step in and step up.
The undoing of the current state of the Golden State Warriors could be put squarely on that of the Golden State Warriors. At some point, we have to talk about whether you want to target Bob Myers, who I really like as a host, by the way. I think he's really good. He is tremendous, I think, at ESPN. But let's just, it's time, Ev, just that time of the show, let's just take a look back. You talked about Chris Paul. That's going to turn out to be a mistake.
The trade?
Well, the trade for Jordan Poole, and Jordan re-signing Jordan Poole, would you agree was a mistake? Yes. Re-signing Andrew Wiggins, was that a mistake? Agreed. Missing on James Wiseman, was that a mistake? Yes. When you think about even Kuminga and Moses Moody, you were in the lottery in successive years. I'm not saying you missed on those guys, but if you hit on some of these draft picks, you would not be in this predicament. That youth movement that I keep talking about would be 2 or 3 years along now, and you're in a much better position. At some point, you got to look back and say, hey, Warriors, you did this to yourselves. Over the last 3 to 4 years, you created the mess that you're currently dealing with.
Well, and I think that's what they're trying to get up under from. Last offseason, they got off of Poole's deal. I think this offseason, they're trying to get off of Wiggins' deal. And who knows, maybe next offseason, they maybe try and get off of Draymond Green's deal, who is also a large investment, or a long-term investment, I should say. 888-957-9570 is the number. Evan Giddings, Dan Devon with you on 95.7 The Game. Let's get out to San Francisco. Stay in the city with Leo. Leo, how are we doing, my man? How are you?
I'm doing well, gentlemen. How are you doing today?
Fantastic.
Great conversation. Hey, yeah, I think we're at an inflection point here with the Warriors, the whole franchises. I think the reason why we're hearing a lot of different mixed signals, I think there's probably some disconnect between the owner and management in terms of what's next. Lacob obviously played his cards out when he thought that this core could still win a championship when he signed Draymond to that 4-year contract. That was the biggest mistake. Number one, it created higher expectations. Klay thinking that, hey, wait a minute, they're going to give him 4 years and 100. I deserve that at least that much. So compounded the problem. I think it's really time to move on. And I think when I say move on, I'm not saying, you know, rebuild, reset, whatever you want to call it. But I think they have a good young core for building around. You know, 2020 hindsight, we could always say, well, you know, they shouldn't have drafted this guy, or he's not as good as we thought he was. But at the end of the day, I think they got a good young four core, and hopefully, if you're going to go trade for somebody, you got to trade for youth. Markkanen is a good example of that. There's no way that the Warriors are going to compete for even a Western Conference championship by bringing in Paul George. And who wants to pay him $60 million on the back end of his contract? And that goes for a Jimmy Butler or any of those guys. So at the end of the day, I'm turning it over, and I'm being honest with Steph. If I'm Lake, if I'm saying, listen, we appreciate everything you've done for us. At this point, we want to reset. We want to reset with you. If we're going, you know, big game hunting, we're going for something like Markkanen, but we're not going to go for Paul George. And then put the ball in his court and decide what he wants to do with his career. Does he want to stay here another year, another two, or does he want to go, you know, pull Kevin Durant and go hunt for another championship someplace? And if he does, then you accommodate him. But at this point, just sinking money, you know, $50, $60 million into these guys who are past their prime, it's just, you know, that's out of bounds for me. I you know, delusional as we are as fans and thinking we still got one more left in us, I think it's time to move on.
Thanks, Leo. Yeah, it's time to move on. I find it hard to believe that they can move on with Steph still on the team.
The other thing to take into account when you're talking about Paul George and the Clippers, Clippers aren't idiots. If you're going to trade with the Warriors, by the way, the Brooklyn Nets trading with the Knicks was the first time in I don't know how many decades. Like, you don't do those trades, especially when you're talking about interstate rivals and you're in the same. I know divisions don't really mean that much these days in the NBA, but if you are going to do that, you're going to look to take full advantage of the Golden State Warriors. Like, trading with the Warriors, if you're the Clippers, I mean, you got to toe a hard line simply because it's the Warriors. And the Warriors would do the exact same thing if they were offering a free agent to that, the Los Angeles Clippers or the Lakers.
Well, I think that's why they've been speaking in kind of a, I don't know, open door tone during the draft and the last couple weeks. It's because I don't think they know what direction they're going in, quite frankly.
The Clippers Warriors. Or the Lakers? Or the Warriors.
The Warriors. Yeah. I think the Warriors are hoping that another team makes the choice for them that they feel comfortable with. The issue is you can only kick the can down the road so far. Like, for example, I expected them to move the guarantee date for Chris Paul. Well, now you got to make a choice on Sunday. And it might be based on what Paul George does, but I also just think it's, now the Warriors got to make a choice. Like, you have to make a choice at some point. And I do think Leo's right that this is an inflection point, but it just feels like they keep prolonging or procrastinating that choice, like that decision, to either go one way or the other. They keep trying to ride this middle ground, and it just feels like, to me, the most probable outcome, which people are going to be pissed about, is next season, it's a lot of the same faces. We're going to see, hopefully, some players improve, ideally in a big scale way, but probably marginally, and the Warriors are going to be just as good, if not a few games worse. Because I don't see how they're going to upgrade wholly while being able to, I think, also secure another objective this offseason, which is to slash payroll.
Well, that's what you're looking at. And to me, that's a best case scenario. It really is. I can't tell you how many times when you surmise the Golden State Warriors, the way they're currently constructed, there is no off ramp here. There is no successful exit. There is no trade. There is no free agent. You're not a player away. You're not two players away. You have to discard the money. You have to get younger. You have to lean in on these kids and then reassess next year as far as getting free agents and building with a future. Because there is no future with the Golden State Warriors right now. The future is done. All they have right now are memories, and the memories of the four championships. But at some point, you got to cut bait and start anew. I'll say it for the 150th time today. It's time to hit reset. I know it ain't sexy. No one wants to deal with a rebuild. But if you're to be pragmatic and just look at this thing from the 30,000 feet above, there's no course here. There's no road back to the finals. There's no road to give Steph that walk-off trophy. It ain't going to happen. And yes, it's unfortunate that it's at the expense of one of the greatest to ever do it, and that being Steph Curry. But this is the reality. It is a farewell tour for the next 2 years. No one's going to say it, but that's the reality of this. And that's the best course for this team because it gives you a path in terms of having a future once you assess who you are as a younger basketball team. This current mess, that's a recipe for disaster for years and years to come if you continue to buy in to the Paul Georges of the world.
Yeah, I mean, I think we can leave Paul George out of this. The idea of resetting to me, I can't go there yet again while Curry is on this team. And again, that's another part about this too, is Curry's contract extension eligible. Like, I would ask you this, and maybe the listeners too, at 888-957-9570. Why would Curry ask for a contract extension right now?
Much like
outside of loyalty,
the same reason why I think Klay Thompson wants to play here, why Draymond Green re-upped, I think that this is home. And he, more than probably the average NBA basketball player, recognizes what it is that Kobe did. He understands his legacy. He understands the history of basketball, and he only wants to play for the Warriors. Now, will he tell you he's upset? Will he maybe throw some public tantrums next year? Possibly. But at the end of the day, he's bound to the area as well as the team, and maybe not necessarily in that order. And that's why I think he'll be a Warrior till his career is done.
See, I think he's bound to the team as long as he feels like the team is bound to him. And the moves that they are, or I should say not making this offseason, don't indicate to me. And that direction you're talking about as far as resetting or rebuilding doesn't sound like a team that's bound to Steph. It sounds like it's a team that is hoping that he's just a nice guy.
Steph is in the conversation. So the one thing that you do is you have that open door policy and you're like, Steph, this is where we're at. And this is what we think is the best path forward. And we want to let you know that this is the direction we're going in. We definitely want you to be a part of it. In fact, we're counting on you. But this is where, and at some point, I think Steph is not, he's a smart man. And I think he realizes at age 37 that Paul George, really, going to bring you a title? Jimmy Butler is going to get me back to hoisting to going down Market Street in a parade? Like, he understands what's up here. He gets it. He's got kids that are going to school here. He's bought into California. He just, he's got a building down here in the Dog Patch District. He's all in, man. He's all in when it comes to venture capital and to being an entrepreneur. And he's a grown-up. I think that he'll never, again, he won't say this to the fan base, but he knows he's awake. And I think there's going to be buy-in from him eventually.
Well, we're going to see him in a couple weeks and a little over a month, I think, in fact, in Paris, going for the gold medal. And that's what he's focused on right now.
What do you think of that, man?
What?
You think they're going to get gold?
Yes.
Dude, maybe.
Oh, Mike.
I'm just telling you, the landscape of the world has changed, my man.
It has changed. Ken, did you have something on this?
There's absolutely no reason why the USA team should not just wipe everybody, like,
it's not 1992, bro. It's like, look at France. Do you want to play Slovenia?
Joel Embiid decide to play for the USA team. Like,
I'm just telling you, man, there are some teams there. I mean,
Luka and, you got Slovenia in that?
Well, Luka and Jokic together. There's France is no joke. I'm saying that the USA is the favorite, but the field is much more balanced and it's getting, as this game becomes more worldly, it's going to be that much more of a challenge every 4 years. I'm not with you guys, or I'm just saying, we're just going to, we're going to clean everyone's clock.
God, I cannot wait to host with you in a month.
Bro, how many times have I got to be right on this? You couldn't wait to host with me 6 months ago when I said Bronny's going in the second round.
Well, you also said the Warriors should take him. We've all taken our victory laps. You maybe more so a little bit lately. So I'll put that one in the bank, and we can do that when it happens. Let's get out to San Francisco. Bring on Dennis. Wants to join the conversation. 888-957-9570. What's up, Dennis? How we doing?
Good. How are you guys doing this morning?
Oh, great, man. Devone's killing
me. I got a couple of points. The first one, I think, is we have to bite the bullet and we have to trade Steph because his cap hit is brutal. It's brutal. You can't. How are you going to build this? First of all, I agree with you guys. I agree with what you're saying, but Paul George is not going to do anything for us. And who is? I mean, the way the roster is constructed and the way the salary cap is right now, we can't do anything. And we have to get younger. We have to bite the bullet. For God's sakes, Joe Montana got traded. You know, it's you can trade these guys. I love Steph. I love Clay. I'd like to see him play forever, but they can't. Their time is come and gone. The second point I'd like to make, I've lost a lot of respect for the Warriors organization ever since the Jordan Poole punch, because they didn't do anything about it. They've done nothing about Draymond and his violence. And Kerr is the big guy against violence. I agree with him about the gun stuff, but he never came up to the podium and stood up for the violent behavior of Draymond Green. And he's a big distraction. And then they rewarded him with a $100 million contract. That was wrong. Look at after they rewarded him. Look what he's done. He was suspended twice, choking Gobert and punching Nurkic, whatever that guy's name is. You know, and what are they going to do something about the guy?
Well, you can't do anything about him now. But let's tackle that first part, because I actually don't think we've... Again, I think all of these ideas on paper sound a lot better than an actual application. So God, I can't believe I'm going to say this. Let's say the Warriors traded Steph. Okay, one of the reasons, Dan, that you're out on Paul George, sounds like you're also out on like Kevin Durant, Jimmy Butler... I imagine if LeBron was available for trade, you would probably be out on him too, right?
Hell no. Wait, yes.
Oh, okay. I was like, whoa, that's a pivot. Shout out to the Pivot Podcast, which Brandon Ayuk was on. We can get to that in a moment too. But so if Curry's 36 years old, he's due up for an extension at the end of not this upcoming season, but the one after. Why do people think that there are teams that are just going to line up to give 6 first-round picks for Steph Curry? Like, if the Warriors don't deem it reasonable to sell and mortgage their future for a player that's not maybe at the same level as Steph, but in the ballpark, why would a team look to extend Steph Curry at age 37 and give up the amount of capital that it would take? Like, Paul George courted 6 first-round picks in 2019. You know, the New York Knicks just gave up 4 first-round picks. I'm imagining the Warriors would want more than that. Why would a team do that? If we're talking about how we don't want to get older, and we don't want an aging star, and we don't want to cash-trap ourselves, why would another team give up 6 first-round picks or something in that ballpark for Curry, who's going to be going into that season, age 38?
I'm with you. They won't.
So you can't... So
yep.
So you'd have to sell low on him, which you're also not going to be doing because he's Steph freaking Curry.
Yeah, you're right. And he's not the problem.
Cut that.
And he's not part of the problem. But he is sort of where you're at, in that Steph Curry is no longer Steph Curry. While he's a good basketball player, he's in an ideal team. I think he's a 1A. I think you have your star, and then you have Steph Curry. That's sort of where you're headed right now, which is all part and parcel of what it is that I've been harping on with this basketball team, that it's too old, and it's time to start anew, with Steph being still, you know, a good basketball player, but essentially what it is that you're doing is you're having him say goodbye to everybody for the next 2 years. And then him and Steve Kerr, you know, hand in hand, can walk off to the sunset or go wherever it is that they're going to go. And let's recharge this thing.
So we're basically just going to limp around for the next 2 years?
You're not going to limp around. What it is you're going to do is you're going to build a new base. You're going to find out who Pajemski is and Trace Jackson Davis and some of these rookies, and maybe you make a move for a young player. Maybe it's Markkanen if you don't have to move off at Kuminga. But you're going to identify a new future going forward, and then you can reassess this time next year what free agents will make sense with some of the breakthrough stars we saw this year with the Golden State Warriors. While you may have missed the playoffs, there's got to be a future. Again, there's got to be a future in place as opposed to continually romanticizing the past with the likes of Steph Curry and Klay Thompson and Draymond Green and Paul George, you know, all these guys that are getting paid for, and we're thinking about what it is that they did, you know, in yesteryear. You have to think about in the here and now, and more importantly, like that of Oklahoma, like that of Minnesota and Dallas, because Doncic is still 25, 26 years old. You have to think about the future. Like, what is it about this team that you can say 2 or 3 years from now, we're going to be in a good place? As of right now, 2 or 3 years from now, these guys are going to be, once again, at the Sequoia. Shout out on Post and Laguna, the retirement community. That's where you're headed 2 or 3 years from now. There is no future with this basketball team. And that's the transition. That's where you're headed. And it has to happen at some juncture. And so, again, you're better off doing it now as opposed to later.
Perhaps. I just think that there's a whole lot of trust there that hasn't necessarily been earned yet. I also think it's a lot of rolling the dice, which, again, I think moving off of a player a year before, shout out Bill Walsh, is great when you got Steve Young. Moving off of a player or a franchise superstar is great if you have the next thing. I don't feel confident that the Warriors have the next thing, and I guess that's why I'm clutching Steph Curry to my chest so hard. 888-957-9570 is the number. That's Dan DeVoe. My name is Evan Giddings. We're taking your calls on the other side for our final segment here on 95.7 The Game. When we return, right after this.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey, and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Evan DeVone and Grandy.
Yeah!
They're going to be coming in your face on Sunday.
Oh, my God.
Now, back to 95.7 The Game.
Oh, there's a couple things to address. Number one, that drop has got to go. Thank you, Ken, for that. Evan Giddings, Dan Devone. Devone, put those back on. That's the second order of business. He reached for his headphones, and instead, for those watching on YouTube, he grabbed these bad boys. He looked like Tom Cruise and Maverick.
Not in Risky Business?
Top Gun.
That predates you. Sometimes you just got to say what the
Risky Business. What that's the one famous scene where he slides in and he's wearing no draws with the pink collared shirt.
Well, he was
right?
wearing the draws, but
didn't look like he's wearing draws.
Yeah.
I was trying to give you some credit. You know,
we got to give the Let Devone jacket. He's been at it for 3 hours now. 510, I love you, brother. One day I want to meet you.
A lot of innuendos.
No, maybe not.
In this last segment. One final segment here on 95.7 The Game. Let's open up to the callers, because I think, Devone, you also opened Pandora's box in our last segment. 888-957-9570 is the number. Get us going. Tim in Raleigh, one of my favorite places in the country, North Carolina. What's going on, Tim? How are you?
Guys, hey, I just had a couple of things. I think we might shortchange how much Curry might want to really be here. You know, you think about Kobe spent his last 7 years with the Lakers not really competing for anything. He didn't have a young core of players that he could have been a part of growing and helping be a part of. Yeah, they made their shots for Nash and Howard, and it was a flop. But he was going to be a life Laker. You know what I mean? I think Curry has some of that in him. And I think as long as there's talent around him, I don't think he's just going to want to tap out because we say, hey, look, man, we gotta be smart about this and try and go another route, and he'd be a part of it with Kuminga and the talent we have. And that leads me to this, why is everybody else young player a new thing better than what we may have in our own backyard? Like, Paul George, the lasting memory of Paul George is Damian Lillard hitting a 30-footer in his face and sending him home when he was with OKC. That's as far and as much as he's won. I mean, it is amazing that we're so ready to give up what we have for something that's all we saw, right? And it just makes me think, I wonder back in 2009 and 2010, how many in the Bay was ready to say, let's go with Monte Ellis? I mean, let's go with Monte Ellis, this Steph guy. Like, let's go with Monte. Like, ready to not even give him that chance. Like you said earlier, they traded Shai Gilgeous for Paul George. Like, just everybody's always ready for the new thing, right? If Jonathan Kuminga makes, let's remember this, right? No empowerment from the coach, no confidence instilling from the coach. This guy's had to do it all kind of like on his own. And if he makes half of the leap he made last year, we're talking about a 23 to 24 point score a game, like with no empowerment from his coach believing in him, right? Like, imagine Jonathan Kuminga playing for a Ty Lue, a coach that instills confidence, that empowers you. Like, I just don't understand. Like, it really makes me think, how many in the Bay were more about Monte Ellis and let's do something different than the Steph Curry guy before even giving him a chance to be what he is, right? Like, everybody's new thing is the freshest thing, instead of maybe believing in what we only have already. So I just wanted to bring that to the table. Sometimes take a step back and let's believe in what we got. We saw it with our own two eyes, and people still hesitate to say, maybe Kuminga this, maybe Kuminga that. No, guys, the guy is here. Like, let's empower him, let's instill more confidence, and let's let him go. Like, why not? You know what I'm saying? I just don't get it, guys. We already blew it with Anthony Lamb and John Jerome taking minutes from him and Moody 3 years ago. Let's just go ahead and try and fix that and go in on what we have. I just wanted to bring that up, fellas. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Tim. Yeah, I mean, look, the reason why I guess people are, at least that I can see, you know, dangling some of these young pieces is because they're not that confident in what they are. Like, I think the reason why the Warriors were not successful last season is because their veterans were gassed by the end of the season, and these young players that we're discussing, mainly Kuminga, Pajemski, TJD, and Moody, were too unproven to elevate those older players when they indeed kind of hit the end of the road.
That's not what I saw. I thought my lasting image of the Golden State Warriors was, you were right, the first part of that statement, you were spot on. All of a sudden, CP3 looked old against Sacramento. Klay Thompson, well documented that game. If that's his last game as a Warrior, no points in that fat lip because the ball hit him in the face. But I thought the youth of the Golden State Warriors, the only thing that kept them in that game, or, well, they really weren't in it, but that was the one bright spot. That's my one lasting image, is that that was, to me, if ever there was sort of a ceremonial changing of the guard, the Warriors, including Draymond Green, looked old. And Trayce Jackson-Davis, although he didn't play until the fourth quarter, didn't have a good start to that game, but those young players were just running laps around the old men. And it just, you could clearly see the imbalance that the Warriors were currently dealing with.
Ray is in San Rafael. Ray, what's going on? You're on 95.7 The Game with DeBone and Giddings. How are you?
Hi, guys. How's it going?
Awesome, man. What do you got?
Well, I think you gotta reconsider how great a year Steph had last year with who he had. I also think that Klay Thompson had a pretty good second half of the year, and everyone forgets how well he was playing because of that one playoff game, unfortunately. I think that Steph is not a 1A player on any other team. Like, he's going to change that. Wherever he goes, if you were to trade him, he would change that team, that whatever market. And I say he's got another championship for the Warriors. And you just got to get one more guy. And I think developing some of those younger dudes. But honestly, I'm okay dealing Kuminga. Kuminga's good. But is he going to be your guy, your clutch guy? Is he going to be that guy in 3-4 years? Is he going to be your Anthony Edwards? I just don't see it.
Thanks, Ray. Well, yeah, I mean, I don't think he's going to be Anthony Edwards. I feel like we would have known that by now. But I do think that there's a chance that he develops into a very good basketball player. And I think that's also why they don't want to move him. It's not necessarily that they don't think that they can get him to, or they can use him to acquire Big Boy. I just don't think they have many other eggs that are in the basket.
It's a weird relationship, though, when it comes to Kuminga and the Warriors.
How so?
Well, I just think that, I mean, there was clearly a level of disrespect, I think, on the part of Steve Kerr and the Warriors last year. And I think Kuminga had a point. Like, really, you're going to sit me? Why aren't I playing? And that's sort of gone on. And then towards the end of the season, Steve Kerr, as well as Dunleavy, to a lot of the callers' point, they kept that door open that, you know, he's got things he's got to work on. They didn't give that sense of security, whereas they did certainly to Klay and Draymond. Yeah, these guys are big pieces. We want to bring them back. I don't know. There just seems, I don't call it disrespectful. It just seems a little sort of something's hinky between the two.
See, I feel like that was more of a challenge.
Okay.
Like, we need, because, again, and maybe this is also a breadcrumb that I didn't pick up on, Dan, is, yeah, I think the Warriors do believe that next season, unless they swung a trade for a superstar, like their future is going to be dependent on him. And that's a place that scares the hell out of me. Not necessarily because I don't think he's going to be good, but because you're going to need more. Like, you need more out of him, and you need it now. And I don't think that's a fair position to put him in going into his age 22 season, when last year's really the first time we've seen him get any sort of extended run as a starter.
The other thing when it comes to Klay Thompson, while I'm with you, I think the Warriors are better served, well, maybe you didn't go this far, I think the Warriors are better served without Klay Thompson because there's just too many old players. Not an indictment on his talent. It just, when you think about fit, it's not a fit on an aging basketball team. It is a good fit in Orlando. It's a great fit in Denver, where he can just sit out on the corner or sit out on the wing and catch and shoot all day from Jokic. That's a perfect inside-out scenario for him, where he can just do what it is that he does, and that is get up in the morning, you know, hit the fatty and then just start shooting. But when it comes to Klay Thompson, if indeed he does leave, that's a huge, huge void that the Warriors are going to have to address immediately. Because who then shoots the ball for you consistently? That's not named Steph Curry. And it was bad enough Steph had to deal with double, if not triple teams last year with Klay Thompson. So you take him out of the equation, and really, is it going to be Lindy Waters the third? Don't call me the second, the third?
40% three-point shooter,
well,
Dan.
I mean, are you going to entrust him of being that guy that's going to alleviate the pressure from Steph Curry? Because somebody's got to step in and just hit the ground running as far as providing consistent shooting from the outside. So while I'm with you that Klay should go, but you have to address then, okay, well, how are we shooting threes and who's doing it aside from Steph Curry?
Or maybe you feel like Klay leaving also helps you become a better defensive team. And I think that's why Kerr's message, or it wasn't just to Kuminga. I think it's also towards Moody as well, probably to Pajemski. It's like, dude, we need you guys to develop as three-point shooters or better three-point shooters, because it looks like Kerr are going to be missing a big one next year. And for as much as Klay sometimes did shoot the Warriors out of games, he is also their only volume three-point threat outside of Curry. And I don't think he's going to be back next year. So you have to figure out who else is going to demand respect along the three-point line. And I'm sorry, Lindy Waters III and Quentin Post are not good enough for me. 888-957-9570 is the number. Dan DeVoe and Evan Giddings with you up until 12. We'll be back tomorrow from 2 to 6 for our NBA free agency special. Starts at 3 o'clock, so we got an hour kind of to warm up. Mark Granny will be joining us.
Yay!
And we're going to run a three-man weave up until 6 p.m., reacting to all the news coming down the line for the Warriors, who have a decision about Chris Paul, for any other teams that are inking their stars or future stars to free agent contracts. Klay Thompson could potentially be leaving. All of that will be coming your way for 4 hours tomorrow from 2 to 6 right here on 95.7 The Game. Let's go down to Newark. Talk to our guy, Omar. Omar's coming. What's up, man?
Hello, gentlemen. How are you guys doing?
Wire shout out, Omar.
I think with the Warriors is that it, no matter what decision that they make, it's just going to disappoint people. Regarding in trading Paul George, you're going to have to give abundance of players and picks, and people. It's going to be divided because people are going to be satisfied. Yes, Paul George, he's a better two-way, better slasher to the rim than Klay, but he's injured. He's injury prone. And then there's people that suggest DeMar DeRozan. DeMar DeRozan's he's elderly too, and he has a mid-range shot, and he doesn't play defense. And then I've seen a trade suggestion with Lauri Markkanen where we would receive Lauri Markkanen and Jordan Clarkson, but we would ship out Andrew Pods, and I believe it was Moses Moody, and first and second second round draft pick. I just as a Warriors fan, you want to see hope, and you think that Mike Dunleavy would do the right thing, and you would hope that it plays in our favor, but it's not looking too bright.
All right, well, it's sunny outside. Last I checked, apparently Omar's calling from, I don't know, the basement. Stuff.
I'm surprised you had wire knowledge.
My knowledge would shock you, Dan DeVoe. My knowledge would blow your socks off. By the way, there was a piece of information I did not know about Dan DeVoe, which I don't think I can reveal publicly.
Wait, by the way, do you know Omar's last name?
Little.
On the show?
Yeah, Omar Little, right?
Oh, God. Why did I think it was DeVoe?
Oh, my God.
I'm serious. I'm going to look this up.
There's
one thing it isn't. It isn't DeVoe.
It is not DeVoe. It is not Omar DeVoe. By the way, shout out the late, great Michael Kenneth Williams, because that's his actual name, and he passed away. So RIP to him. But yeah, it's... God love you.
There's a DeVoe on the wall. I'm telling you, one of the characters, unless I'm really delusional.
Is there...
I can't. My
computer's
down. Where
is your wire knowledge at?
Don't go there, bro.
Were you in season two?
Do not go there.
You're still in season two? You probably think it's...
Season two is when they're at the ports.
Yeah, they're at the docks with the Greeks. And you probably don't think that's a very important season, huh?
Well, think about that. How
that's what I'm saying.
Well, that bridge is no longer... I mean, think about...
Went over your head.
What's...
Yeah. What? Oh.
Yeah, wow.
Wait, which bridge?
Well, that bridge that you saw was sort of, in a lot of the scenes,
yeah,
the focus of the port that is Baltimore is no longer there. After that rig that ran into it this past fall or the winter.
Yeah, that was unfortunate.
Collapsed. That was where a lot of that was shot, right there in season two. So,
well, it is one of the greatest pieces of
the best
cinema
is
ever.
When they focused on the kids.
Yeah, season four, yeah, no
that
doubt,
was amazing.
When Omar Little found his replacement towards the tail end of also season five. My name is Evan Giddings. That's Dan Devone from the Xfinity Mobile text line 520. Clay ends up leaving in free agency. Giddings and every critic will feel the wrath of dub stands. Look, I'm just telling you what I think. I don't think the Warriors made him a priority this offseason. And I do think, Dan, you did bring up a really good point earlier that I wholly agree with. The reason why Clay is not a priority for them is, one, because I think they believe that they can still survive him not being on the team. But number two, it's because of the contracts they've given out the last two summers to Jordan Poole, who of course has become Chris Paul. That was probably a mistake, 2020. Andrew Wiggins, 2020, also hindsight, probably a mistake. And Draymond Green, even a four-year, $100 million deal, also is not looking too good right now. Because of those three deals, there's no longer money left for Clay. I think that's kind of why he's in this situation.
Yeah, and in terms of to-do list, I'm sorry, he's not at the top of the list. It's, you know, you got to find out what it is that you're doing with Chris Paul, simply because it's time sensitive. And secondly, when the free agency starts, or as it relates to Paul George, if indeed you're going to have him opt in and trade, or you're going to trade for him and sign him to a max deal, well, then those have to be taken care of before financially you can address the Klay Thompson issue. You can't sign Klay Thompson and then handcuff yourself to that contract and then try and deal with first CP3 and then secondly Paul George. It's the other way around. So it's just a list of priorities. And if he's insulted by that, well, so be it. But that's sort of business as the Warriors see it this offseason.
Well, and again, I don't think they were going over the second apron even before they hard capped themselves, but by buying back into the second round and drafting Quentin Post, who I hope is a nice player for them, they have between their salary right now on the books for 13 roster slots if they guarantee Chris Paul's $30 million tomorrow. They have $11.1 million left between their salary and the second apron. That's not going to be enough to keep Klay Thompson. Like, I don't care how many years you are. You could offer him 5 for $50. I don't know if that's good enough for him, because that is a massive sign, I think, in his eyes of disrespect. To go from a $40 million player to an $11 million player is just not in the cards. And so in one breath, I do feel for Klay, because I think he's kind of a victim of circumstance. I think a lot of teams are afraid of the second apron, and he just happened to so fall in his free agency in a year where the league is changing and it's also evolving, and he's not necessarily a part of it for a lot of franchises, perhaps including his own. But at the same time, I think the Warriors are telling us that Klay Thompson is not a part of their plans, because otherwise I think they would have budgeted more money for him.
You know, when you talk about the second apron and how the league is changing financially, and how it's more difficult to make trades, and how these, a lot of the franchises, the majority of which feel a bit hamstrung. I think, let's work in the Knicks here in the final 10 minutes there, Jersey Ken.
We've taken 3 hours and 50 minutes to get here.
When you think about, this is something to take into account, and it may sound as though I'm contradicting myself. When it comes to Paul George, the only reason why you'd entertain it, much like that of the Ananobi re-signing, which I'm sure you thought was way too much money to bring back OG Ananobi to the New York Knicks?
No, I actually thought that was the proper decision.
Good. But the thing you have to take into account...
Okay, talk to me, Devone.
The reason you have to take into account, and this holds true for Paul George, is that after next year, there's going to be a $75 billion with a B contract with the NBA and their new TV deal,
mm-hmm,
with all these people streaming. $75 billion are going to be infused, which means the salary cap is going to go up upwards to 10 to 15%. So what sounds like an outlandish deal right now, when you're talking about the back end of a four-year contract extension, is going to make a lot more sense when that salary cap is elevated for all of the teams. So keep in mind that everybody right now, as GMs, when you're signing a Paul George to a max four-year deal, is taking that into account.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's also why you saw Bam Adebayo get like $55 million a year on his contract extension, because the numbers are just going up astronomically. Can't wait to see what Jason Tatum gets. Okay. He's got a contract extension due after Jaylen Brown just got like $300 million, was the highest paid player in basketball this last year. And this is something else.
You know, they project Wembanyama to be the first $90 million guy?
Oh, I think he might break 100.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, again, that's going to be a long time from now, but a $100 million player is on the horizon because of the TV deal that you're talking about. And real quick, this is from the 510 and the the Xfinity Mobile text line. I think they made Clay, I'm assuming, a fair offer, 2 years, $48 million. That was last offseason. Reports are that's off the table right now. And Clay turned it down. Yes, the Warriors did do that. But at the time, I don't think there was any way that they expected Clay to pick that up. And I don't think it was fair to expect Clay to pick that up, because it was the same offseason that you offered another member of the Big Three $100 million. And that's, again, I'm just reading the body language of the Warriors. I don't think he's a huge priority for them. I don't think that they prioritized him last offseason when he led the league in three-point makes, when he had a better season. And then this most recent season, he bet on himself because he got lowballed. I can't fault him for that. And the Warriors probably are not willing to go even close to 24 right now.
Well,
or they can't.
I agree with you, but that means that Steve Kerr is either lying, which I don't think he does frequently, or he's playing a hell of a game of poker.
Well, I think Steve Kerr wants him back, but Steve Kerr doesn't sign the checks.
Yeah, okay. So you do believe that Steve Kerr genuinely wants him back. To me, that's scary. That's a scary proposition that he's still hanging on to.
I do, though.
Yeah, I do, too. I'm with you. I think that Steve Kerr, and maybe Steve Kerr is just, again, for PR's sake, behind closed doors, obviously, he's talking to Dunleavy on the daily, right? So maybe he knows what's in the works and has come to the conclusion that they're going to move off of Klay Thompson, but every time he gets in front of a mic or his name is mentioned, he has to say the right thing, once again, to save face, not only for him and his team, but for the organization. Maybe that's what we're witnessing. Because I hope that he's... Because what Steve Kerr said is that if he could, he'd bring everybody back and run it back. And to me, that should scare everybody. If that's where your head coach is still... Because it's not only... Are the players stuck in 2018, but your head coach is still living in that dream sequence?
Yeah, I mean, I kind of think Kerr wants Clay back just for nostalgic purposes. I think he also thinks he can still be a productive basketball player. Like, I think Clay could get 2 years for $50 million from a certain team. That
and
means
it would
he's
make
still
sense
productive
for a certain
player.
Team.
Yeah, for Orlando, I think for Philly, perhaps even for Denver. You know, I'm excited to see what happens with Clay, and as much as I do love the guy, I hope that he goes to a place where he can compete, because if it's not in Golden State, I want to see him play well.
Let me ask you a question. Do you think that he wants to leave?
Yes, at this point.
Wow.
Yes. I mean, again, it has to do with the money, respect, role. I think all of it wrapped together leads me to believe that Klay Thompson has his eyes set on somewhere else.
I think he'd go...
In a perfect world, he'd stay, but...
I think he'd go unwillingly. He'd be very reluctant, even if he's getting a significant amount of money, more money from another team.
Well, as we put a bow on this, we're going to talk about this and more tomorrow, 2 to 6 p.m., NBA free agency special. Myself, Evan Giddings, Dan DeVone right there, and Mark Grand, you're going to have
this
for
this
4 hours.
This is my first three-man show. Is it going to be? Can I be like Dan Patrick and you guys, the minions, can be like in front of me, like, you know, like how Patrick has his show for me?
We're putting you in the middle over here, so you gotta defend both coasts.
We're gonna
flank you from both sides. Evan, Grandy, DeVone will be with you tomorrow. Ken will be back on the board as well. Thank you, Ken.
Hey, real quick.
Yes.
I did a little digging.
Oh, boy.
And we owe an apology to our good friend Dan DeVone.
Oh, I'm walking off. You want to see a Wisely walk off? Give me a DeVone name.
His name is Omar DeVone Little.
Oh, my God. No chance.
Spelled the exact same way.
Are you kidding me?
I don't know if it's pronounced the same way.
No
well, you know what?
Chance.
I'm going to give it to
oh
him.
Oh, my God.
Omar DeVone Little.
Oh,
good night, everybody.
Nothing but net.
Oh, no.
I'm out.
Wait. Hold on. We're both right.
I can't hear
him. Yeah, all right. DeVone's off the air. We'll talk to you tomorrow from 2 o'clock until 6 o'clock right here on 95.7 The Game. Thanks, everyone.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.